Well, it was amazing, these verses we have just read. And this morning, we want to look at lessons in the dungeon. I've actually been reading in Joseph over the last few days. Genesis about Joseph. And it is such a remarkable story. It is just absolutely amazing. But this morning, I want to highlight something very special. Well, Joseph had went through three stages in life. The first one, he was who he was, kind of still unmolded, proud, etc. And then his second, in the second passage we read, we see how God molded him. He went through the molding stage of life. And then the third stage, obviously, was he was ready and he did what he was called to do. But this morning, we want to draw our attention to the molding part, to the second stage of his life. I strongly believe that every Christian should go through these three stages of life. It's a journey we impossibly can travel unless we put all our trust in God. Let me tell you what I mean. There was once a fantastic tightrope walker, and his name was Jean-François Gravelet Blondet. I don't know if anyone has heard of him. You probably have, yes. He was a French tightrope walker and acrobat in 1824. He was born. And people were absolutely astonished about his skills. He was phenomenal, absolutely outstanding. And the reason why people were so excited and so tense was because there was no net below him. That raises the blood pressure quite a bit. Now, this man walked over the Niagara Falls, which were 1,100 feet long, 335 meters. And the diameter of the rope was 3 inches and a quarter. And he was above water, 160 feet above water. This is about 50 meters. That is a big challenge. Now, this he accomplished first on the 30th of June, 1859, and then a number of times, always with different theatrics variations. Once he went over blindfolded, once he went over in a sackcloth, and once on stilts, and once he carried his own manager, Harry Colquhart, on his back and walked over. And once he actually cooked an omelette in the middle of it and sat down on a chair with one leg and he ate the omelette. That is kind of totally imaginable, not imaginable. Now, we come to the absolute highlight. He took a wheelbarrow and went over the rope. Everybody was excited. They clapped and cheered. And then there was a woman in front of the audience. She was really excited. And then he asked her a question. Do you want to come into my wheelbarrow? And I walk you over, and her face totally changed. She was not anymore excited. And she answered, no. You see, God is the tightrope walker in our lives. He asked Joseph, would you like to get into my wheelbarrow? Now, right now, God asks you and me the same question. Would you like to get into my wheelbarrow? He says, listen, my child, it can become wavery in the middle, but just trust me. Sometimes the blood pressure may rise a little bit, but I'm in control. Don't worry, I firmly will hold you. You will get to the destination harmless. How easy it is to get excited when we hear about great stories, you know, about missionaries or I don't know who experienced great things. We are impressed and astonished, but we never want to get into the wheelbarrow ourselves. We would like to watch others going in, but not us. We can read the stories in the Bible. Wow, great! But to experience them ourselves is a difference. Joseph was who he was. Joseph had a natural problem of pride. He was the loved and exalted one of his father. Only he got a colored tunic. Nobody else, just him. I mean, you know, that raises the self-image just by a few feet already. Only him. We also read in Genesis 37 that Joseph brought bad reports of his brothers to his father. And God the Almighty knew Joseph's proud heart and yet gave him the divine dreams. Joseph was so foolish and big-headed and told his dreams to his brothers. Well, of course they wouldn't stand him if he appears like that. And they hated him for obvious reasons. Joseph's nose was not in the middle. It was up here. Joseph heard many wonderful stories about Abraham and how he was led by God. At this stage, Joseph found himself in the same crucial situation as that woman was when she was asked by the tightrope walker, would you like to get into my wheelbarrow? But Joseph said yes. Praise God. He said yes. You see, the Lord can't use arrogant people in his kingdom. Don't you think he was a wonderful person? Joseph was just one, as everybody else. But he was ready to go and walk with God. He was a great man. And now the journey with the wheelbarrow starts. He did not know what was happening. He did not even dream about a plan like that. And this spoiled boy even didn't know what a dungeon is like. But he will soon find out. God has a plan for your days and for my days, no matter how old or young we are. And A.W. Tozer, he says this, it is doubtful that God ever used anybody greatly without first hurting him deeply. We like the using part, but the hurting part can be very painful sometimes. Now, Joseph's dungeon started when he was 17 years old. Can you imagine to be sold as a slave by your own brothers? This is so emotionally painful in itself. We read in Genesis 42 that Joseph's soul was in anguish and pleaded with his brothers for mercy. 17 years old. Then Joseph was submitted to the test of the big temptation with Potiphar's wife, and Joseph passed it with merit. He had something very costly in his heart, a great integrity. And what was the result of it? What was the reward for passing the test? The dungeon. Very, very unfair. Life can be so unfair. It's absolutely amazing how Joseph reacted. He was punished and accused utterly unjust, and Joseph kept quiet. There is no indication that Joseph made any effort to defend himself from these charges. It's extremely difficult to be quiet in a situation like that. My friends, we easily can read this, but this is a very great lesson for all of us. To be quiet when we are accused wrongly. You know, die quietly and don't make a loud noise. Nobody wants to hear your screams. There is no doubt that God allowed him to be unjustly accused and punished for the purpose of developing his character, for the great work God had for Joseph in the future. At this stage, Joseph could have said, "There's no point whatsoever to put any effort into a holy life. Nobody cares anyway. And God is far away and seems not to be interested in my horrendous situation." Is anybody here this morning who thinks in a similar way? You know, at this stage, Joseph could have said, "Why do I bother?" Do you know how Joseph overcame that situation? Listen to this statement by F.B. Meyer. His motto was this: "Do right because it is right to do right. And when you determine to do right because it is right, then when you are misunderstood, ill-treated, when you are the victim of unjust suffering, you won't change direction, you won't sit down, you won't complain, and you won't despair." Very, very, very powerful statement. Finally, Joseph ended up in the dark dungeon. D.L. Moody says, "Character is what a man is in the dark." Character is what a man is in the dark. When you're walking in the dark and you don't understand God's plan whatsoever, when nothing makes sense, when everything goes wrong, when you wonder what is actually going on, God is watching you and me. And he is testing us. Look, Psalm 105 says this: "The word of the Lord tested Joseph," or "tried Joseph." How can he be tested and tried when everything goes right? It's impossible. You only can be tested when you're in a dark situation, when the circumstances are not in your favor. When things go against you, that's when you're tested. Roman Sievert says, "It is better to walk with God in the dark than to walk without God in the light. Now he is in a horrible pit without windows. Pit means people in training. I remember when I was in the military service, we were in a bunker, and I had no idea what the weather was like outside. I did not know if it was raining, if it was hailing, if the sun was shining. I had no clue. I was in that bunker underneath for days. I did not know what the weather was like. If it was England, I could have guessed. No, it's not that bad. But he, no doubt, was lacking vitamin D. He looked pale. I mean, I remember when I was in Scotland, I looked much paler than normal because of the climate. After having been there for 2 years or 3 years there, it changed. Everything was taken away from Joseph. There is no doubt he longed to see his father, but he couldn't. He wanted to get out of that horrible dungeon, but he couldn't. He wanted his dreams to be fulfilled, but they didn't take place. Things went against him. Now there is nothing he could do than to wait and wait and wait. Let me tell you, men cannot wait. Women either. We can't wait. Human beings can't wait. We want things fast. I want it now, not tomorrow. I desire it right now. But God says, not yet, later. Wait. Not in your time, but in my time. God saw Joseph wasn't ready yet. Here's the lesson for you and me. Don't put a question mark where God put a period. Now, big hopes rose for Joseph. Listen very carefully what he said after he had interpreted the chief butler's dream. And I presume you know the story. Listen, we read in Genesis 40, verse 14 this. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. We read 7 times about me and I and me and myself and me again. He was still selfish. God saw he was still not ready yet. Let's give him another 2 years. This was the situation. Trust me, at this stage, Joseph was totally unaware of his selfishness. He was, when we are in the dungeon, we are unaware of our faults. Now Joseph soon discovered he was forgotten. After the chief butler got out of the dungeon, he had completely forgotten Joseph. I don't know how he could, but he did. How awful. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought everybody has forgotten about me? How did you feel? Can you feel a little bit how Joseph felt here? He was absolutely discouraged and disappointed. We can notice now his struggle between hope and discouragement. You know, it was like ping pong. Hope, discouraged. Hope, discouraged. Maybe now he gets me out because of my dream. Joseph thought now he has got the right to get out of the pit. Why? Because I've interpreted his dream. The only right a Christian has is to give up his rights. Why? Because we are bought by Jesus Christ. He has all the rights over us. We don't have any rights because he bought us with his precious blood. The next lesson he has to learn is put all your trust in God and do not accept any way out of the dungeon by human beings, but by God alone. That is extremely difficult. God alone can deliver you and me out of the dungeon and not any human beings. You may be tired of waiting like Joseph was, but don't give up. We need perseverance. But now there's one bit which is very, very important. When we are in the dungeon, we don't just sit back and do nothing. That is very, very important. Because Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, he was diligent. He put all his effort in. He moved. When he was in the dungeon, the same. He did not just lay back, oh, well, I wait and do nothing until God takes me out. No, he was active. He was so good that he was put above the others and he was in charge, even in prison. This is very important because some people, they think, okay, I'm in the dungeon, I just need to wait doing nothing. Put our trust in God and persevere. Somebody said this, I want to read this to you. Perseverance means more than endurance, more than simply holding on until the end. A saint's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see, but our Lord continues to stretch and strain, and every once in a while the saint says, I can't take any more. Yet God pays no attention. He goes on stretching until his purpose is in sight, and then he lets the arrow fly. Entrust yourself into God's hands. Is there something in your life, you really need perseverance. Maintain your intimate relationship with God while you go through it. Proclaim like Job did, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. You see, if you move and walk with God, he can guide you. But if a person does nothing and just sits, you can't guide. It's like a river which flows, you can guide the river. But if the river doesn't flow, there's nothing to guide. Joseph was sitting in the dark dungeon. The clock seems not to work. Many thoughts went through his mind. And suddenly he remembered the dreams and he so wanted them to be fulfilled. But nothing happened. Is it really true? Here's another lesson for each of us. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you and me in the light. Because God doesn't change if you sit hopeless in a dark pitch or if you are moving victoriously on a mountain peak. If you are in a wheelbarrow, you can't do anything but trust the one who gets you over. But be faithful within the wheelbarrow. Do everything you can in the wheelbarrow to be and to behave like God wants you to behave. You may have heard this story. A number of grasshoppers gathered around a bucket of milk, and two fell in. And one saw straight away there is absolutely no chance to survive. And he drowned straight away and died. The other one did not want to die. He kicked. He made everything to survive. He struggled against impossibility. And everybody up there says, oh, there's no way. You will never make it out here. And he went on. He kicked and struggled and tried to put his head above that he can breathe and make everything. He fought for his life. And then something happened. The milk turned into cream. And he went on. The cream turned into butter. And he walked victoriously out of the bucket. And the question is, how did he do that? Why could he do that? Because he was deaf. He couldn't hear all the others above saying, it's impossible. You might as well give up. It's impossible. Your circumstance and situation is impossible. He didn't hear that. That's why he fought and went on. Sometimes our life situations, they really do look impossible. But there is nothing impossible for God. We do not give up. Giving up is not an option. That's what you and I need to do in the dungeon. Don't give up. Don't listen to others. Don't listen to the devil. Fight and struggle on as you would be deaf till you walk out of that dungeon. Put those earplugs in that you don't hear the wrong voice. When you're in the dungeon, don't look at the bars in the dungeon, but at the stars behind the bars. That was what Joseph did. He looked at the stars. Did he see the stars? No. But he knew they were there. He looked at the stars by faith. And guess what? He did see the stars in the end. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, that you know every single situation. You know those who feel they are in a dungeon. And we pray that you would take these words, the word of God, and make it alive. And may you use these words to encourage us in the dungeon, that we would walk like you want us to walk, that we would behave in that dungeon as you want us to behave, that we would trust in you with all our hearts and live for you and with you. I thank you, Jesus. You're a good God. And you're with us right there in the dungeon when things go wrong and when they seem not to work out. But we do pray that you show us how we need to move so that you can guide. Amen.